Access more.
I'm Cassie, single mom to three middle schoolers. My kids saw so much dysfunction towards the end of my relationship. And if I'm honest, most of my relationship with my ex was toxic. And I'm concerned that they haven't seen what a healthy relationship looks like. So how will they know how to find one and foster one?
And that's one of the things that we cover here. All this month, we are talking about relationships. Speaking of relationships, my name is Robert Beeson, and you are?
That was so funny. I'm Kimberly Mitchell. I don't know, but that was a new one. I'm Kimberly Mitchell. You are Robert Beeson. We are so glad you are here.
Yes, we are.
Whoever you are.
We're talking about relationships this month. And speaking of relationships again, mm-hmm. We have in the studio someone that we have a relationship with named Elizabeth Cole.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
To talk about teaching our kids healthy relationship skills. Elizabeth, I'm glad that you're here.
Yes.
I am so glad to have relationships with you guys.
We love relationships. This is getting a little kumbaya-ish.
I'm just like...
So, Elizabeth, can you relate to what Cassie just said? Have you been concerned with your son knowing what a healthy relationship looks like and how to be in one successfully?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah. I mean, I made so many mistakes, and so, yes, I do not want him to follow in my footsteps.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to getting into this. Yeah. Before we get started, I think, and I say this every week, but it's really important for you to know that if you are a single parent, you need to know that you're not alone and there's hope.
Yeah, it is so true. Both Robert and I were single parents for quite a long time. And so we've walked the journey. We know how difficult it can be. But we also know that life can be transformed and things can change because of the difficult stuff we're walking through. Yeah. So we get it. This is going to be a great conversation today. I'm anxious to see where it goes because this is a big one. But like Robert just said, we will always end in a place of hope because that's who Jesus is, and we believe it fully.
Kim and I are here to tell you, not only is there hope, but you can overcome all that you've lost. So welcome to the Solo Parent Podcast. So let's face it, as single parents, we are all carrying relational baggage and unhealthy habits around that we can pass on to our kids. Many of us, unfortunately, modeled that unhealthy, toxic relationship with our exes in front of them, and sometimes even after divorce, after we are away from toxic situations, we continue in our unhealthy beliefs and approaches to relationship. If we've lost a spouse to death, that trauma may keep us avoiding risking getting in relationship again, or we may foster relationships built just on loneliness. Whatever the case, we want what's best for our kids. We don't want them to have to go through the relational struggles that we've had. Here's the thing. If we don't teach them healthy relationship skills, they will and are learning about relationships somewhere else, from movies, friends, social media. Our kids are always watching, always curious. They're always wondering. So how can we teach them healthy relationship skills when we doubt our own abilities to be in healthy relationships? Well, today we're going to discuss that. But first, I want to point this out. If you are driving and you're listening to this and you're using your hands doing something, like maybe you are a cooper making cheese barrels.
What?
You didn't know a cheese barrel maker was called a cooper, did you?
No.
But you know who knows? Your husband knows.
Will you stop reading his emails?
He said, what if there's a cooper making cheese barrels out there and he can't write something down? So if that's you or if you're driving, everything that we talk about will be in the show notes.
I love the show notes.
Yeah.
They're the best thing we got right now.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so. Gosh, yeah, I'm going to have a chat with him. We're going to get started. I'm just thinking about this Cooper thing. I can't get it out of my head. Okay, Elizabeth, this is a big one because our kids are so important to us. So where do we even start? And how did you start, or how have you started teaching your son what healthy relationships look like? Because it's tough.
It is very tough.
Yes.
And I think obviously the first place it starts with me.
Yeah,
and our relationship together,
that
he and
is
I,
so true.
You know? And so it's a mix of just kind of learning as I'm going, you know, and apologizing for times that I make mistakes, understanding who he is as a person and really trying to like draw that out. But then also asking him a lot of questions and paying attention to what's going on in his life and the relationships that he has around him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is what I love about Jackson, I tell him all the time, is that he's so curious. And so allowing him to ask me questions mm-hmm. about things that are going on in his life. And mm-hmm. if I've come across the same, you know, situation, and how did I handle it? Mm-hmm. And we just kind of have open dialogue. And then seeing him and watching him interact with other people, watching him interact mm-hmm. with friends, and then having conversations with him about it afterwards, or him seeing me have, you know, relationships and things that happen. And this could be anything from us standing in line at a grocery store and maybe I get frustrated and then we talk about that mm-hmm. to, you know, my best friend and how we interact mm-hmm. and how we became best friends and that sort of thing. And so I think the biggest thing has been just open dialogue, not just living out relationships day to day, whatever that looks like, but also mm-hmm. talking about it and understanding how they work.
I think that's so important.
Yeah, true.
Kim, I have a question for you. So we're both remarried. If you think back, how do we model, or how did you model what a healthy relationship looks like between a man and a woman mm-hmm. when you're not in a relationship with a man mm-hmm. or a woman? Because mm-hmm. you are now, but mm-hmm. prior to that, when you were in the midst of being a single parent, mm-hmm. how did you model that? Or how would you say you taught that
to your kids? Well, first of all, I have awesome parents, and they did not live far from us. And actually, they are great models of good relationship. But you know, we were at the church so much, and there were some great couples that were so good to the kids and I. And mm-hmm. there were some great men, especially, that, I mean, I went and talked to each of them going, if my son needs, like, there were probably five of them that I'm like, if my son needs to talk to a guy, can he come to you? And Kai knew who they were. Like, because I talked to him going, hey, if you need anyone, like, Ron Wall over here is, you know. And we just surrounded ourselves with just good people. Mm. And we had good people around us. So I think they just watched that. Also, they've seen, like, they've watched bad ones too, right?
Yeah.
They've seen it all. But I would say we were really involved in our church. And we were surrounded by great people, real people. Not everyone's perfect.
Yeah.
But I'm really grateful that they got to see that. And my family was really awesome too. So I just think, and you know, I would have to sit like Elizabeth would have to, like with my son especially, and just go, hey, I know it's just me and your sister, and I'm sorry that, you know, you're surrounded by all of this, but watch the good men. He knew who he admired and adored, too, and would watch him. And I would have to sit with Serena, too, and go, hey, when you get older, here are some of the qualities to look for in a relationship and in a man. I'm still talking to her about that because now she's 18. But
Yeah.
What about you?
It's well, as I'm hearing both of you, I think little bits of that. I don't think I realize how worried I was about the damage that I had done in my last relationship in front of the girls, because it got really volatile.
Right.
And they were exposed to a lot of that. And even after the divorce happened, there was still, and kind of is still, kind of, not as much this year, but drama.
Yeah.
And I just am recognizing how that does, you know, play into the lives of our kids. And I think I did have some relationships around of good, healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I leaned into that as much as I should have. Like, as I know that some of my girls' friends had parents that were good, and they would go over to their house and they would see it, you know?
Right.
And I think I'm saying all this to say I put a lot of pressure on myself that I had to teach them everything. Yep. And ultimately, God really had kind of care for them to you know, see it in other people. Because we put a lot of pressure, like, as parents, we're the only ones that are going to teach our kids. But I think it's more about just being deliberate.
Yeah.
The one thing that I don't know that I did well that I want to talk about is relationship is not just man, woman, and not just friends, but also how we deal with relationships that might be inappropriate. And I don't mean terribly inappropriate, but I mean like that they get uncomfortable or there's conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do we teach our kids to set boundaries and to stand up for themselves? Elizabeth, how do you do that?
Well,
she laughs.
A lot of
she scoffs.
Well, it's been through trial and error again, you know.
Yeah.
And a trial, if you will, came up recently. Mm-hmm. Jax is in third grade, or he just finished third grade. And there was a fourth grade teacher in his on his hallway. So they the hallway in his school, they share a hallway, third grade classes and fourth grade classes. And he's standing out in the hallway, and one of the fourth grade teachers approaches him and tells him that his hair is dirty.
Mm.
I found out about this later in the day, but
that
apparently,
his hair is dirty, like that he has hair, dirt in it, or like he's just he unclean. Like
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know. So,
it's a very odd thing to.
A very odd thing to say. Yeah, I mean, and of course, my little mama heart was like, I was ready to go crazy and be like, "What? Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
You know, like, why would a grown woman approach a third grade child, 8-year old boy, and tell him his hair was dirty?" Anyway, so the principal called me later in the day and told me about it. And so we had a long talk that evening, Jax and I did. I asked him what happened, and he told me, and I said, you know, well, how did that make you feel? And, you know, how do you even feel telling me about it? You know, and he was like, well, I mean, I thought it was really rude, and it hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, I let him know how angry I was about it and that it was not okay that that happened all of that, and that I was there for him, you know. But then also, you know, and I said, well, is it embarrassing at all? And he said, no, because I know it's not true.
Mm.
I was like, well, good for you, you know, because it wasn't true. He had just washed his hair the night before.
Yeah.
So anyway, but we just kind of talked about it, and I said, well, what do you need from me?
Yeah.
And he said, well, has anything like this ever happened to you? And I said, no, not this in particular, but, you know, people, there have definitely been people in my life who have said hurtful things. And he was like, well, how did you handle it? And I said, well, you know, I didn't, probably when I was your age, I don't think I knew how to handle it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I did. But I said, now that I'm an adult, I, you know, I approach those people and I tell them, hey, that really hurt me. That hurt my feelings, what you said. And then I allow them to respond. And if they respond with like, oh, man, I'm so sorry, you know, and they feel guilty about it and they're like, I'll never do that again. I didn't mean it, you know, whatever. Then I'm like, okay, this is like a person that I feel safe with and that I can continue to have a relationship with. But if they say something like, oh, well, you shouldn't feel that way and that's not how I meant it, and they get defensive and they just kind of push back and whatever and try to diminish how it made me feel, then I don't. Then I know that that person's not a safe person and I don't really have like a really good friendship with them anymore.
Yeah.
And so I just told him, I said, you know, you do what you need to do. You decide. You don't have to answer me now, but I just want you to know that if you want me to sit with you while you talk to the teacher, we can do that. If you don't want to talk to the teacher, you don't have to. The principal can handle it, you know, but just know that you have options. You can do what you feel like you need to do. And so I heard from the principal the next day and his guidance counselor at the school, and he told them that he wanted to be the one to talk to the teacher and tell her that it hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow. And they were just going on about how mature that was and how proud of him they were that he wanted to approach it head on. And they even offered him other options like, well, you could write her a letter. And he said, no, I want to talk to her.
Wow.
And so, And, you know, the school went on about business, about daily life, and that was it. But, you know, it was just a good example of him being brave, knowing like who he is and setting boundaries with himself and just saying that's not okay.
Yeah.
The other really cool thing that happened, I found out later, is that as soon as the teacher came and said that to him, he walked straight to his homeroom teacher, his main third grade teacher, and told her what happened and said, this teacher just said this to me and I think it's really rude. She was like, yeah, it is really rude. I'm really sorry that happened, you know. And she took immediate action and told the principal and all that. And so what's really cool about that for me is that he had a safe place to go.
Right. Yes,
with
true.
The information. Mm-hmm. And I actually told his teacher that. And I was like, you know, that is, I just have to commend you for being a safe place for him, because that's super important for me as his parent to always have a safe place for him to go to with anything that happens. Yeah. And so for that teacher to be that for him as well is really super important, you know, because I don't think I can be the only safe person.
Right.
There are multiple people that need to be in his life to be safe. And for him to be able to recognize that and for her to follow through is
is a gift.
Is a huge
what I love about that story is that you were very present with him in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave him options of how to address this, and so did the school.
Yeah.
And I think in relationship, as we teach our kids about relationship, I think it's important to let them know there are numerous ways to approach communication, relationship. I'm betting that you didn't learn that because that was given to you as as a child, right? This is something that is, which I think is amazing, which to me speaks to the point of, like, we either keep a cycle or we decide we're going to break it. A lot of us have come from dysfunctional families that look functional sometimes. Like, I'll speak for myself, being in a missionary kid's family, there were things that you just didn't talk about.
That's
you
true.
Don't talk about things. Like, and so I've had to make a deliberate effort to break that cycle and go, no, it's okay to talk about some things. And it's okay to go against the status quo, because I'm sure, Kim, you can relate to this. Like, being a preacher or a missionary's kid, you don't rock the boat. You don't. You just go along. You comply. You, and that creates, that's not a healthy foundation for a relationship. Right?
Totally. Yes. And but I would say it's taken me a long time to learn that it's okay to rock the boat.
Yeah.
Because, no, I would still probably chase the
least resistance.
Yep, absolutely. I'm not a confrontational type person. I never have been. I'm a peacemaker. Like, I want everything to be peaceful, so I will do whatever that takes. But I've watched my kids have been great teachers, actually, to me.
Yeah.
Because they've rocked some boats, and I'm like, wow. Like, I'm kind of jealous that like they've learned how to do it better than I've ever had, or better than I've ever let myself.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck in that a little bit sometimes.
I feel the same way. Like, it's been super important to me for Jax to be able to have his voice and to be able to say what he needs to say and talk about whatever he's feeling, feel what he feels, say it, you know, whatever. Question things, especially like his curiosity, like I said earlier, is hugely important, and I want him to never lose that and to be able to ask questions about why things are the way they are. And I did not have that at all. And even still today, I don't, like, there are times where I just can't, like, I don't feel like I can speak up. But he doesn't know those boundaries. Like, he doesn't know that, you know?
Right.
And so, yes, of course, we have to have talks about what's appropriate, what's not at different times, you know, and that just for, like, societal standards and that, you know, you can't just, like, bust into something and, like, you know, like a bull in a china shop with your words. There's a time and a place, but at the same time, like, you shouldn't feel like you can't. Like, you have to hold back, and it's super important to be able to stand up and have a voice and speak up.
I am proud of my daughters for, I didn't like it at first, and when I was in the height of my single parent days, it was like, that's so disrespectful. You don't you just do it because I say you do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not what
I've
we do.
Yeah.
And the older I've gotten, the more I'm like, you know what? It's okay to question.
I
need to, we need to create the safe place for our kids to come with these questions.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, they figure things out on their own or they'll search stuff on their own. And
I think it, too, in a way, helps them have more authentic relationships with Jesus.
I 100% agree.
Because,
with that.
You know, there have been times I know all the right things to do and say, especially at church and in the church and with Jesus. And actually, the closest I've ever felt to God was when I was so broken and so in the pit of, like, I don't have it together. But I think with our kids who have, they've broken all the rules that I ever had.
Right.
But I just think it makes everything more authentic. They're not afraid to even question, like, hey, God, what's happening here when, you know, me growing up was always like, don't question it. Just believe it. I'm like, well, what if I don't believe it today? I think God can handle that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think that makes them just a bit more authentic.
And how much more do you grow and learn?
Their faith.
Yeah. By going to God and saying, I don't believe this today. Yeah. Or I don't, you know, I don't agree with this today or whatever, you know? Like for me, those have been the moments when I've like expanded my mind the most and been able to like reach new levels with God because I did question.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. One of the things that I think I did do fairly well is owning my mistakes when I would blow it.
Yeah.
There's numerous times that I would go to my kids and apologize and just say, whether it's something to them or it's like I got angry driving at somebody, you know, like just go, I'm sorry you guys had to see that. There's probably a better way for me to have handled that and I'm sorry. But I think that's a part of teaching relationship skills is like owning when you don't get it right. We're not required as parents to have everything perfect all the time.
We don't.
No.
And we can't.
Right.
We're just going on what we know at the moment. And we're frail human beings too, right? Still always learning and growing.
And relationships themselves, whether it be romantic or otherwise, they're messy.
Yes.
And they're not to be discarded if it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like there are places and times for struggle with people in situations. Mm-hmm. I know that in my previous marriage, we didn't have much conflict until it got really, we didn't know how to handle conflict.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we just avoided it.
Yes.
And it just, until finally, obviously it turned out really toxic. But now that I'm married again, my wife, Barb, and I, we do have arguments. Mm-hmm. We do. And the kids have seen that. And I'm like going, I guess I was always taught, I'm interested to know, Kim, like you keep your differences to yourself, kind of like as parents, don't let the kids see you argue and they might feel unstable. And And I don't know that I agree with that. I kind of think it's important if you're in a healthy, if you have healthy conflict, you know, approaches to have conflict in front of your kids.
Well, they can see, too, that, like, two different people can have different thoughts and opinions and still do life together.
Right. You don't just discard the other person
because
difference.
That's right. Man, if we could just learn that in the world, like, maybe things would be a little bit better everywhere. Now, I will say, though, there are some toxic relationships to get rid of. I've had to do that with some friendships.
Talk about that.
When I was a single mama, I mean, I've had good friends, but there was one, funny enough, woman that was actually very much like my ex-husband, like just toxic and narcissistic and just all these things. We had great times, but I had good times with my ex at the beginning too. But then it just got worse and worse. And anyway, it was a friendship that ended. And I'm not good with that kind of stuff, but it was the best thing for it to end. So we do have to kind of watch and go, this does not serve my life and I can't be in this anymore. So sometimes we have to just be careful knowing what is worth keeping and what's, we have to really set big boundaries, right? Is that, like you've had that too, Elizabeth, right? Like kind of friendships to kind of back away from a little bit.
Yeah, same. I actually noticed, I think we've had this conversation before where I noticed some of the same cycles, relationship patterns, if you will.
Yeah.
Like once I got away from my ex, I saw one friend in particular that was very much like my ex. And so I had to back away from that a little bit and distance myself and figure out how to have boundaries in that relationship. Yeah. We still have a relationship. It's not one that I've like cast to the side. And I can say too, that she's grown a lot. Over the last couple of years. Mm. And so we have not foregone the relationship, but being able to step back and get like my bearings and understand who I am.
Right.
So that my codependency wasn't playing such a huge role in that relationship like it had been.
Yeah.
Was really big. That's one thing that I will talk about too, the codependency cycle for me. And that's been one huge teaching for Jax is you are not responsible for other people's emotions and feelings. Because unfortunately his dad is still severely codependent. It can, Jax and even his older brother and sister can get caught up in the game of being responsible for their dad's emotions and how he reacts to things and feeling like they're the ones that have to walk on eggshells. And they have kind of picked up some of the role that I had when I was there, you know? And so that's been a huge thing. Not that I call his dad out to him. It's not that at all, but it's just anytime he's talking about situations where I can pick up on or sense him feeling like he needs to walk on eggshells, whether it's his dad or not. I'm like, it is not your responsibility. They get to have their feelings. You get to have yours. And, you know, and try to just instill that. He still, bless his heart, he's so empathetic. And that has been a huge blessing out of all of the conversations that we've had is his level of empathy. And so he's like, well, you're telling me that it doesn't, like, you know, that I'm not responsible for their feelings, but, like, but, you know, I don't want them to feel hurt. I don't want them to feel, you know, whatever. And he's asking me all these really hard questions. And I'm like, oh, man, I know. I understand that. And I want you to care about people. But, like, I don't want you to also feel like you're responsible for, you know what I mean, for them hurting or, you know, obviously if you've done something to hurt them, take responsibility, but, you know, that sort of thing. And it's like these deep conversations that I'm like, man, that went somewhere I wasn't prepared to go and I don't really know how to answer right now. but it's really cool though. It's really rich and it's really like exciting to see him like kind of develop his own way of handling things and use that voice that we've, you know, that we've worked on and all of that. And so
I'm glad you brought up the codependency thing because I think that is, we hear it a lot that single parent kids don't want, first of all, they're in the middle of two people that they love. And it's natural for them to want to try to govern the feelings and keep everybody happy. So I think it goes beyond even recognizing that. But what you're talking about, Elizabeth, telling our kids, you are not responsible for making dad feel better about this or your mom feel better. You're incapable of it. It's not, that's our thing. You are not responsible for managing somebody else's feelings is a huge part because they naturally will get caught in this tug of war of not wanting to hurt the other person. For me, I'm going to say this and it's going to come off really cold, but I could care less if my ex is hurting or what. That's overstated, but that's their mother.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And so I have to not only be respectful of that fact, but also endorse that and go, you should be concerned about your mom, the way she feels or, you know, but you can't manage that.
Yeah,
like being empathetic is one thing, but
it's not your job to fix.
Healthy relationships don't try to manage other people's feelings, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the other distinction is, to your point, Kim, talking about this toxic friend, it also doesn't mean that we have to discard everyone in our life. It means that relationships look different for different people. They have to be a safe environment. They have to be healthy. But there's every relationship is not the same. You have an inner circle of people that you would share anything with. And that group, you're blessed if you have two or three people like that. But beyond that, you are not, you don't have to be the same person to everybody. You don't have to disclose everything to toxic people.
No. There are some people, I call it my arm's length people. You hold them just
like
at arm's length.
You keep me at arm's length.
I tell you nothing. Like, you know, like we can go out and have fun, have like, but I don't, share
there.
My, no.
And that it doesn't
and
mean
it's totally fine.
It's totally fine. And that is still, I bit my tongue.
That's what you get.
I know. No. It is still a relationship.
Yes,
like
it is.
Arm's length relationship is still a relationship. It doesn't mean they all look the same.
Yeah.
There are people, I have one friend that I go to almost every Tennessee Titans home game with, and I never see him outside of football season. I love him. And we enjoy the game together. We're very different. Like politically.
Yes.
Spiritually. but we come together to watch the Titans game. And and he and I were actually talking about this last year. He's like, we never see each other except for the Titans game. I'm like, I know. I go, well, we should change that. He's like, yeah, I should too. But it's fine if we don't. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's still a great relationship.
It's still a great, it's an enriching relationship.
Yeah.
And I think helping our kids understand that. Yeah. There are people that are going to be acquaintances at school.
Yeah.
That you're kind and you're friendly to and you listen to. Mm-hmm. Even if they overshare, that doesn't mean you have to reciprocate and overshare. Just be kind.
Yeah.
But then there are those people that, do you call them a 3 a.m. friend or someone? Someone that we've had on the podcast calls them.
Yeah.
Someone you can call.
Call anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah.
And you're blessed if you have those both, but they don't have to look the same.
No, no, no. And my 3 a.m. friends are my sisters because that relationship changed from sisters to great friendships.
Yeah.
And those 3 a.m. friends or those ones that are in your inner circle, you need to be intentional about valuing them and fostering and treasuring those friendships.
Yeah.
Because they're rare.
Yeah, they are.
And that's worth investing in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell, Elizabeth, do you tell your son what you look for in romantic relationships?
So, funny you bring that up. So he is just starting to like, I mean, he's always been girl crazy since he was tiny, but he's just starting to get into that phase where he's ready to start like letting girls know that he likes them and that sort of thing. And so yes, we are starting to have those conversations. And it's been more though about he's more interested in what he needs, like how he needs to treat them versus like what to look for. And to be honest, like
he's third grade.
So like, and I'm even thinking about like what you were just saying in relationships in general, it's kind of hard at this stage. I feel like this stage is more about, do we like the same video game?
Yeah.
You know, do you play baseball or soccer or football or what? Like, where do we connect on common things? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Whereas, you know, obviously the older you get, the deeper relationships you form because of deeper things, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
So anyway, so we're kind of like not in that ground yet. But
of course.
He is very concerned with making sure that he is treating girls with respect, which is great, which I love. And that's something that we have a lot of conversations about. His brother, who's 23, actually talks to him a lot about how to treat the ladies. And so, you know, for instance, there's a girl that he likes in our neighborhood. And we were at the pool, our neighborhood pool, a few weeks ago. And she was really cold. And so he offered her his towel.
Aww.
And, you know, gave her his towel. And he was freezing too. He's sitting over there shivering. His lips are blue. But he gave her his towel. And
sweet.
I know. And I was like, that was so sweet of you. That was such a gentleman thing to do. And he said, well, she was cold. And I was like, well, I just want you to know that that was really sweet. And that was the first day I really picked up on that he liked her, you know. So I said, well, he said, will you tell my brother I did that? And so I texted his brother and his brother was like, what a stud. And I told Jax, what he, you know, what Brayden said. And he said, what's a stud? And I was like, it's like a really cool guy, like a guy who's, you know, got it together. And he was like, yeah, kind of gave me this look like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm awesome. You know, but I was like, you know, you got to keep stuff up like that, you know, open up the door, do chivalrous things. I do not want chivalry to die.
I know.
You know?
Yes.
And, you know, it's just little stuff like that. But of course, as we get older, or as we get, well, I guess we'll both be getting older, unfortunately. But as he gets older, we'll be having more conversations about what are some of the values you look for and that sort of thing. He's naturally drawn to really sweet people, friends, or boys or girls, you know. He's not really drawn to the bullies and to the people who kind of don't look out for one another anyway. So we haven't had intentional conversations yet about that, but those are coming, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that you're being deliberate about it, though.
Uh-huh.
And it's all of this has to do with, like, creating a safe place for them to talk and communicate.
Absolutely.
I'm so looking forward to getting into these conversations in our groups. Mm-hmm. For those of you that haven't heard, we meet every single day, sometimes twice a day online, to discuss these things. And we'd love for you to join us as we explore how to teach our kids healthy relationship skills.
Yeah.
So download our app and you'll have access to all of our groups. But before I kind of wrap this up, Elizabeth, I'm assuming you have one more thing because you usually do.
You are so right. I was listening to a podcast the other day and I can't even remember what it was called or who it was by, but the guy on there, completely brilliant, and I'll figure it out and we can put it in the show notes. Those show notes you love,
Kimberly. Those show notes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he was talking about, the host asked him, like, what's the number one thing in relationships that people like get wrong? What's the main thing you can focus on when it comes to relationships? And he said listening. And it wasn't just about listening. He described it in a way that was like just mind-blowing for me. I'd never thought about it this way. So he said that when we quote-unquote listen, typically we're listening for how does what you just said affect me? How does it change my world? How's it bump into my way of thinking, whatever? How does it affect me? And then we respond based on that.
Right.
And it could even be something as like harmless as like, oh, you just told me that you did X, Y, and Z. Now let me respond with how that same thing affected me, or, you know, how I have handled that situation and tell a story about myself or whatever. And it's less about that and more about entering that person's world and understanding what their experience is based on what they're telling you, not about you, not about how this affects you.
Right.
And if we can learn how to listen like that and how what their experience is, it will change everything for relationships. I thought that was really amazing. I've never thought about it like that. And I thought, man, I really suck at listening.
That's really good.
That was really good.
So how can we teach our kids that too then, you know, with the listening? And maybe it's just modeling that old Morris Cotton taught.
Exactly. I think that's a key point, that is teaching our kids how to listen. And that simple distinction is, if you're listening to someone, don't listen to them on how it relates to you. Listen to them and how it relates to them, what they're experiencing or what they experienced. And
ask questions.
And ask questions
based on that rather than.
That's really good.
Really good.
And almost
like
respond with questions rather than responding with
statements.
Statements.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's good. Great tool.
Yeah.
All right. So these are the other things I've taken away from this conversation. Number one, as we're teaching our kids about healthy relationship skills, number one, start by surrounding them with healthy relationships, whether that be friends, church, people that model what you consider to be healthy relationships. Number two, be deliberate about breaking the cycle, because if we don't break a cycle deliberately, we will keep the cycle going, and we don't want that. We need to teach our kids that they have value and they are worth defending and sharing. So there is a place and time to speak up and to rock the boat. It's really important.
It is.
Number three, be honest and share. Share your mistakes, share your hopes, share your desires, all those things. Make sure that your home becomes an environment where it is safe to do those kinds of things. So important to relationships. And then last, I put down here, not every relationship is the same. There are different levels. So we need to value and treasure and work on those relationships that are the inner circle. And then recognize that they're not all going to be that way. We can't be looking for that in all the relationships.
No, exactly.
But that doesn't mean they're not a relationship worth having.
They
still are an important part of making us rich and well-developed. Right?
So true.
So if you haven't already downloaded our app, I suggest you do that, because you can listen to all these podcasts, devotions, have access to our online groups, and we really hope you join, because it sounds scary. They're not scary. You will feel welcomed, and you'll have a much deeper community of people to do life with
as single
parents. It really, it's remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. We're just so glad that you're here and that you take time to listen, or, you know, keep working and then check out the show notes later, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And we love to hear from you, so do please jot us a note sometime. I love that. And if you haven't already, do subscribe on the Access More podcast platform. We're there, but so are a whole bunch of other amazing people.
So many good podcasts.
Check those out too. Or, I mean, just download us wherever you get podcasts because, you know, that's most important. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. And if you would rate the show, we would greatly appreciate it because it just helps other people walking the same journey find this community.
That's right.
And that's what we want to do.
Join us on social media.
Yes.
TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We want to see you there. We want to hear your comments. Uh-huh. And we want to engage with you.
Yes.
So find us. We want to be found. Search Solo Parent Society anywhere on social media. I want to leave our time together with this guiding verse. But first, I want to thank you, Elizabeth, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Bring really good insight. Yes. And glad that you're here. Mm. This verse is Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Mm. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again next week.